1409, actually, in your pew Bible. You know, when we just hold on to that, and I'll read it in a minute or two. But when we merged the two churches together about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we ended up with 14 missionary units. In other words, some people are singles, some are couples, some are families. We ended up with 14 missionaries, plus 3 missionary agencies that we now support together as well. That's a big number. That's a big number for us as a church. But I praise God that we have this opportunity to partner with all these different folk. And so far we've had the opportunity in the past year to hear from 3 of our missionaries. You may recall when Ken and Bertha were here, Ken spoke one Sunday morning. There are missionaries who are serving in the Ukraine. And then we had Scott, who came a number of times already, Scott and Cindy, who are serving in China. And Scott got an opportunity to show the slide presentation. And we've been hearing quite a bit from Toncho of late, who's our missionary in the Philippines. And we also have had the privilege of helping out with sending them some shoes from over here. And there's a possibility that some of our youth are going to go over and work with Toncho as well in the upcoming year or two. So we've had an opportunity really to get to know some of our missionaries, and today we're going to have an opportunity to hear from Audra as well. So that's 4 missionaries out of the 14. We still got 10 to go, but I'm looking forward to getting to know each one of them. Now, I want us to read together Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, all right, where Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." If we read this letter carefully, we discover that Paul and the Philippians had a very close-knit relationship. And Paul calls the Philippians partners in the gospel. And whenever Paul speaks of them, he speaks very emotional about them, and also just very fond of them. He says things like, you know, "I hold you in my heart. I yearn for you with all the affection of Jesus. I am glad and rejoice with you all. My brethren, whom I long and love, my joy and my crown. So this sounds like a love letter. But what's interesting for me is that Paul and the Philippians have learned to be partners together, and he rejoices in that partnership. And as we think about the fact that we now have 14 missionaries together to support, I think it's important for us to try and model this kind of relationship between church and missionaries. And so very briefly, I want you to consider these five characteristics, these five responsibilities that we have as a church towards our missionaries. And I've come up with an acronym to help you remember. And the acronym is SPEAK, all right? And you'll find these five characteristics here in this particular chapter and in this book. And so S, what does S stand for? You see that in chapter 4, verse 18. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. One of the responsibilities was, and one of the partnership was, that they were supporting Paul financially. Paul could count on this church, on the Philippian church, to support him in the area of finances. And this is one of the responsibilities that we have as a sending church, to support our missionaries financially, that they could know that we care about their needs and what they're going through, so that they could be focused on ministry rather than wondering where their finances are going to come from. So one of them is to support our missionaries financially. The second P is pray for them. And here, if you look at chapter 1, verse 19, here's what Paul says. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul could count on the Philippians, his partners, to know that that church was praying for him. And that gave him a sense of not being alone in the work of ministry. They supported him financially, and they prayed for him. Another responsibility that the Philippians took seriously was to let Paul know that they wanted to encourage him. And so if you read chapter 4, verse 10, Paul is actually sharing with them, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So here's Paul saying, you know, this is a church that really encourages me, builds him up. And I think it's really important for us as a church to support our missionaries financially, to pray for them, and to seek to be an encouragement to them. The letter A, I would say, stands for assisting our missionaries with their needs, whatever their needs may be. And now if you look at chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, you see Paul actually saying these very things here. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And notice Paul's response is, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So whenever they heard of Paul's needs, they were there as a community. What does Paul need? Does he need somebody to visit him? Let's send Epaphroditus to go and be with him. And often they were just, you know, they were not a church where it's out of sight, out of mind. Even though this apostle, this missionary was not there with them, yet they were always very mindful of what he was going through. So that's the A. And K, I would say, is keeping in touch. The church sent Epaphroditus to see how Paul was doing. They wanted to keep in touch. What are my missionaries going through? Where are they at? And again, as I said, Paul may have been out of sight, but he was not out of mind for the Philippian church. So I think this is a great model for us as a community. How do we, you know, we've got 14 missionaries that we've inherited together. What are we going to do? And I'm very pleased that we have a missions committee, a missions team under the leadership of Doug, who I think is just doing a great job. And, you know, just really important that we remember this acronym, SPEAK, all right? That we support them financially, that we pray for them, that we encourage them, that we assist them with their needs, and that we keep in touch. And lastly, since the acronym is SPEAK, it means whenever they are with us, we should let them speak. So I'm very glad to have Audra with us. She's here for this weekend. And so I'm glad that we're able to work with her schedule. And this is the first time that I've ever met Audra. And those of us from the 19th and new people probably have never heard of Audra. We don't know anything about Audra. And so I've asked her to come and share a little bit about her story and about her ministry. And so, Audra, if you could come. And Audra has a stool here because she has a bad back, a sore back. So, Audra, let me just pray for you. Father, I do thank you that we at Mountain View have the opportunity to be involved in so many ministries, even though they're not here in Canada, but they're overseas, and yet you have given us this wonderful opportunity to minister and to be partners with others whom you have sent to preach the gospel and to build the kingdom of God. And I thank you that Audra is able to be here today with us. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon her. And I pray for us as a church that we may be able to speak into the lives of our missionaries, and that when they are present with us, that we will allow them to speak, and that we will listen to what you have to tell us and to teach us through your servants. And now I pray that you will just bless Audra as she shares with us her story. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me see. I've been doing lots of packing, and that gets the back going, and so it's best for me not to be standing for too long. But most of the time, I don't have back problems. Anyway, it is just great to be here. I have been so blessed already by the people I've met, the songs that the worship team chose to have us sing together, how encouraging that was. And I really appreciated what Vic had to say as well. It's just great to be here. So you already know that I'm a member of Wycliffe Bible Translators, and I work in Thailand. So I live in the northern city of Chiang Mai, and I've already discovered that some of you are familiar with that. My main work is to, I'm actually not involved on a translation. I do the other things that help make translations happen. So I am a volunteer teacher at Paiup University, and I teach people how to figure out another language. So in actual fact, I teach grammar, and I really like it. But it's mainly concerned with teaching people how to figure out how another language works, because that's the basis for translation. And my students include many students from Burma. We've had students from the Philippines, from China, from Thailand, from other neighboring countries. So it's a wide variety of people. And it's a great joy to be involved in this way. The other thing I do is I've been working with the Pokharen people of Thailand. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. There are several minority groups. They actually don't understand each other. Same source, though. And I'll tell you a little bit more about my experiences with the Pokeren. But that gives you kind of a basis for what I'm going to tell you about in this next few minutes. What I'd like to do, since this wondrous thing of two churches coming together, which excites me very much, by the way, I'd like to help you to know me better. And so what I'd like to do is kind of give you some signposts, some of the things that have helped me to keep doing what I believe God wants me to do, because I'm a very ordinary person. I can remember as I was growing up that missionaries were, you know, they were way up here, and everybody else was not as dedicated, et cetera, as missionaries. You know, that's not true. All of us are called by God. I'm actually amazed at what people deal with day by day here. And so I want you to be aware that I am an ordinary person seeking to follow God. I am weak. I get discouraged. It's even in one of the songs, you know, talking about the waves and keeping our eyes up. And so many times it's a thing of you're going and going and going, and the only thing that keeps you steady is keeping eyes on Jesus and trusting in him. So how did I get going on this? I'm a preacher's kid, and in fact, my father grew up in this church, which is why I've always been very interested and always watching very carefully as you all continue to follow Jesus in this place, which is why I'm so excited about what you've done to keep this building being used as a church. So so as a preacher's kid, and my dad, even though a Canadian, was pastoring a church in California. And in this church, the girls and boys groups were focused on missions. So I, you know, as a little girl, so, you know, maybe 8 years old, something like that, I was learning about mission work. And one of the things that came across to me is that missionaries were being kicked out of countries. And so I began to develop some sense of the realities of mission work. Added to that was that my dad was pastoring a church right near a major Air Force base in California, and it was at the height of the Vietnam War. So as a very young child, I'll just never forget, a woman was marking the calendar, waiting for her husband to come home, and he was killed before, you know, a very short time before he was to come home. So I had to grow up very quickly, and I have regretted the loss of the carefreeness of childhood. But that was the reality that I was growing up in, was families coming in, going out, all kinds of things. And so as my interest in missions grew, I wanted to do something that would last, even after the missionary left. I didn't know what that would be, but that is the desire that kind of percolated as I was growing up. So that was the first signpost for me. The next one was that God kind of gave me this dream for what I wanted to do for university. And it was a combination of studying music and also doing Bible. And my experience has been, when these dreams have come along, is that they sit there for a while, and then God actually answers the dream that he put in my spirit in the first place. And so I ended up going to Biola University. It was Biola College when I went, and that was down in La Mirada, California. And I ended up getting a major in Bible, 30 units, as well as a major in applied music. And as I was going to university, you know, that first dream of doing something that would last, I came across the training that Wycliffe Bible Translators does to prepare people to do missions work. It was just a pamphlet with the courses that they offered. And so going to Biola, they had a yearly missions conference. And so I would find out more about Wycliffe Bible Translators every year with the desire to actually do what they were doing. I also had the opportunity to attend Urbana 1979 and was greatly encouraged by the different speakers that we had and came away from that experience with the idea that mission work was carried out by people that were highly committed and willing to do anything regardless of the cost in order to follow God. And so this is kind of the thinking that I had as I eventually ended up in Thailand and realized I'm missing a whole bunch of background. I actually did go and get a master's degree because I chose Thailand because they were doing something different. They were focusing their ministry on equipping nationals to do the work rather than doing the work ourselves. Because Thailand is this little island of relative stability and surrounded by countries where Westerners, there was no way that Westerners could go and do translation work the way that Wycliffe Bible Translators had been doing it ever since the beginning. And so we needed a different approach to the whole thing of Bible translation, because we're dealing with some of the most difficult linguistic situations, so language situations, you know, where people are. They're not accessible to us. Some of the languages, there's not been much written about them, so you're dealing with some pretty difficult problems in even figuring out how a particular language works. So I ended up in Thailand in July 1990 after a couple of years of making sure I had paid off all my school loans, that kind of thing. And that even that was a very positive experience because it made it so I never wanted to go into debt ever again. And I'm just very thankful that I learned that early on. I consider that a great gift of God. So I arrived in Thailand in July, and I had been trained about culture shock, but it flattened me. Because, it's not the stuff you prepared for that's the problem. It's the stuff you didn't know was there that's the problem. And I lost myself for about 6 months, and probably after about a week, I wanted to come home. That's how much it completely threw me. And, you know, because I was in a city, you know, Bangkok has about 8 million people in that city. I was in a massive city. I'd never lived in a city that large before. And to be honest, I can't even tell you what shook me up. But I really wanted to go home. And so that shot down very quickly the idea that I was going to continue doing this work based on my personal commitment. Because what actually happened was I had to hold on with both hands to God, and I discovered that I would be doing this because of his commitment, not mine, and his enabling me to do what he wanted me to do. And that's been a great encouragement to me because, you know, I don't get it right all the time. And there's a lot of rough edges that needed smoothing. And so one of the verses that I hang on to very tightly is from Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That is a great comfort to me, that it's God who's going to bring me to the finish line, and I'm going to be complete because of his work in me. So one of the things during this first term, I was in Bangkok, and we, of course, did language study for probably a year and a half. And Thai is not the easiest language in the world. It's got an incredible writing system. But the thing that I found exceedingly difficult and still find very challenging is that they've got a massive vocabulary, probably as large as what English has, and it's related to social position. So, for example, they have several different words for to eat. So the basic word is gin, and then if you want to get a little bit more formal, you use tan. But if you want to be talking to the king, it's ratpatan. And so you're having to learn different registers. They also have 40 different pronouns in this language, and the use of those pronouns depend on your relative social position to in relation to the person you're speaking with. And so you have to adjust the pronouns to reflect the social position of the person you're speaking with. And so it's a challenge. And to be honest with you, I have never mastered many of the pronouns. There's a few that I use very carefully. And so it's quite a challenge. Now, coupled with that are precious, precious people. And Thailand is called the land of smiles, and in fact, they always smile. And that has been such a wonderful blessing to me, these smiling people. And so, you know, another thing that I continue to learn is that we are in community, and we work together, and we depend on each other. I drive in Thailand, and I'm an average driver. I'm not a fantastic driver. I'm not the worst driver. But over the years, it has been the grace that I extend to my Thai fellow drivers and the grace that they extend to me that has saved all of us from accidents. So it's a wonderful thing to be in that kind of a position where you are learning to work together. So one of the things that I was doing in this first time in Bangkok and starting to work with the Pokharen was a language survey. And this is almost the first thing that you do when you're trying to figure out what people need in order to have scripture in a language they understand best. You go out to where the people are, and we do things like collecting word lists and having them listen to stories from other areas, that kind of thing. And it involves government relations. So I've been in the offices of provincial governors. It depended on the province as to how that office would want to handle things. And I happened to be working in an area that had certain sensitivities. It was close to the Burma border. And so it was very important to show up at these government offices and then basically do what they would ask you to do. And every province was different. This was nerve-wracking to do this. And I learned very quickly that one of the things that kind of helped my fear and nervousness to settle down was remembering that the Israelites, when they were crossing, they needed to cross the Jordan River in order to get to the other side. And one of the things that sustained me in all of this dealing, you know, going into villages, going to government offices, was to remember that God did not make the Jordan River open so the people could cross until the priests had put their foot in the water. And so every time in these early years, I would remember, all I have to do is put my foot in the water. And what that meant was actually showing up at the office. And then God would take care and help us to do what we needed to do. And he never failed us. And just that awareness of that experience of the Israelites was enough to make it so I could actually enjoy these situations, because we just never knew what was going to happen. Another thing is, when you do something like this, so I was about 33 years old. You know, we're not complete. We're learning. And I expect to be learning till I die, basically. And unfortunately, but realistically, there were some rough edges to me. There was a certain level of impatience. I would get very intense and be more focused on the work than I was on the people. And the Pokharin people don't think that way. They're much more interested in the people than they are my particular agenda. And so there were many things that I needed to learn. And I am so thankful to the Pokharin people throughout Thailand that stayed with me and by their interaction with me taught me to be a much more patient person, to be much more interested in their view of things, and to trust, to extend respect to them. You know, I was sorry that I didn't have these skills when I started, but God is gracious in helping me to improve in these areas. And I will be eternally thankful to the Pokharin who interacted with me and who helped me to calm down and who have graciously worked with me all these years. So, you know, when you do this mission work, you're not going to remain the same. And none of us remain the same. All of us, doesn't matter whether we're here or we're overseas, God is going to refine us and make us more like him. So that has been a very positive thing, because I have always wanted to be somebody who was a blessing, somebody who loved others. But I didn't quite know how to do it very well. And so I've been very thankful to the input I've received over the years that helps me to be more like Jesus. Now, how are we doing? We're doing pretty good. As far as the Pokharin, there are several different groups. And for a period of time, I worked with the Pokharin of Central Thailand. And I was in the village for 2 years. I ended up working with the children in the school. So we started collecting stories together, and we actually produced some material. And this was for the purpose of experimenting with a writing system using Thai letters. It didn't work. They were really not interested in fact, they were quite against that idea. They appreciated the work with the children, but they really did not want to do what I was experimenting with. And so I ended up leaving that situation. It was very painful, but I had to trust that God would. In other words, it wasn't about me doing something. It was about what God was going to do in this group and however he chose to do it. And it, you know, so I left the situation, and I moved on up to northern Thailand, and immediately came into contact with the northern Pokharin. There's about 60,000 of them, and a lot of the work among the northern Pokharin has been carried out by Swedish Baptists and OMF, and so they had a translation already, and but there was a request for some help because they wanted to do some work on multilingual education. And what's really good about multilingual education is kids learn to read in their own language, and then that makes the Bible accessible to them. So it's well worth contributing to that. What we, at another point, the survey came along again, and we decided to check out all the Pokharen speakers all across northern Thailand. And we discovered an amazing variety and likely different groups that don't understand each other. And that's going to require much more work. But the thing about the Northern Po, there's many Christians, very capable, very, very evangelistic Christians. And the reason I started doing more work with them, wanting to come alongside them, was that they were already sending missionaries to other Pokharen groups. And so it's more a thing of seeing where they need a little help and maybe helping them with it. One of the things that they know nothing about, there may be one or two Karen that know about this, is that when we did the survey, in the course of doing that survey, we got word that there were two, the Thailand Bible Society and another NGO, were not happy with the Northern Pokharen having their own writing system. They thought that they should use the, you know, they thought they should use the Bible from another Pokharen group. Well, we knew from any missionaries working in the area knew that these two different Pokharen groups didn't understand each other. And we would never have tested that because the difference was so profound. But we decided, my partner and I, her name is Erin, to go ahead and provide the proof that these two language groups, Pokharen language groups, didn't understand each other. And once we had done the testing, Erin was married, is married to a Thai, and they actually translated the report into Thai, and it was widely distributed, including to the Thailand Bible Society. And so one day I received a phone call, and that research was enough to show him that the Northern Pokharen, in fact, needed their own translation, and he asked me to request a recording by Faith Comes by Hearing. I don't know if you've heard about Faith Comes by Hearing, but they have this little machine called a proclaimer, and it runs on solar power battery cranking, or you could plug it into the wall. And one of these little machines, about 300 people, can hear it. The thing with the Northern Po, they're highly evangelistic, but many of the villages in the outlying areas will never get electricity. And so they needed something for ongoing discipleship. That is something that makes me giggle to myself, because it was work that we did that only we could do. We had the expertise to do it, and it's benefited the Northern Pokharen. They have received the recording, but nobody knew where it all came from, and I'm very happy about that, because it's not about me. It's about just fitting into where God is doing what he's doing. So let me just finish up with where I am right now briefly. I have been working on a dissertation at a PhD at University of Alberta for the last 5 years. I started in 2010. And the purpose of this work, so this has been an assignment by Wycliffe Bible Translators. The university level teaching that I've been doing, Thailand is upgrading the quality of their education. And it's getting to the point where unless you have a PhD, you cannot continue teaching in this program. So that was one of the reasons. The other big reasons was that Northern or any of the Pokharen languages have phenomena that I knew I didn't have the tools to figure out. And they are so, you can't even speak the language well without having an understanding of these phenomena. And so I wanted help with that. And this whole PhD thing was another dream that God gave me, and University of Alberta met that dream. I didn't want a situation where students were pitted against other students. I wanted a situation where a supervisor was prepared to be sensitive to the way these languages work, and I have been greatly, you know, way beyond what my dream was. So the plan is for me to go back to Thailand, take up my teaching, but also get this dissertation done. One of the problems that I was investigating took 2 years to two and a half years to figure out. So there is a little bit of space for a little bit of nervousness because there's still more work to be done. But God has guided me. He hasn't told me the answers. He's let me discover those, but he's most definitely guided me with this. And so that's kind of what the next year looks like. Once the dissertation is done, I will go back to much more teaching, consulting, that kind of thing. So I'd like to just wrap up. I've given you some highlights of my life and how God has carried me the whole way. And I'm just so thankful. All of us, I just continue to be amazed at what each person deals with. All of us deal with incredible challenges, and God is there with us. As I've already said, I'm not a super Christian. I'm just somebody just like you, struggling along. It is so encouraging to me to be with you, to hear your stories, but to also hear that you're praying for me, because I need every bit. I would also thank you so much to the Ruth Morton Church for support over so many years, and I'm really looking forward to continuing to be your representative, because this is a partnership, as your pastor has already said. I am your representative in Thailand. So may God give us grace and joy as we each continue to serve him wherever he has placed us.
I think I'm supposed to pray for Audra. Whatever I want to do. Okay. Well, don't give me too much freedom up here. Okay, Audra, we want to pray for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for a gospel that starts from here but goes around the world. Good news for people of every language, every nation, every people group. Thank you for a gospel that reaches from Jerusalem and Galilee to the west coast of BC and to Southeast Asia. Thank you for a gospel that reaches to me and to all of us here. Thank you for your great love for all of us. And Lord, we want to thank you for the partnership that we can have with Audra. Thank you that through her we can minister to the Pokharan of Northern Thailand. Thank you for this opportunity and for this privilege that we have, that we in some way can be part of this work. Lord, we want to intercede for Audra. Pray your blessing upon her now as she is in transition, as she's packing, as she's preparing. Pray for a safe trip, a smooth trip on Tuesday back to Thailand. Pray for her readjustment to life in Chiang Mai. We pray, Lord, for fruitfulness and effectiveness in her ongoing work with the Pokharan. Pray that what she has learned at U of A would be readily apparent as being very fruitful in this ministry with the Pokharan. Lord, we pray for the ongoing spread of the gospel through northern Thailand. We thank you for the evangelistic fervor of these people. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless that. Pray, Lord, that Audra will continue to keep her hands gripping you in your hands. She will continue to see the work of your Spirit in her life. Lord, we thank you again for this partnership with her and with this work of yours in northern Thailand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.